Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Ving. In this show, my podcast partner, James Tapeleg Graylian from the Rink Podcast, and I talk about the sad end of the Avalanche's 2011-2012 season. We talk about the lack of power plays during this year, Milan Hayduk's return to the team, and also Joe Sacco's and Greg Sherman's contract extensions. We'll give you our thoughts on those. Those topics and much more Avalanche and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 73 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. It's been a while. Hi, James.
Hi. Who are you?
What's going on?
Do I know you?
James Tapeleg Graylian joining me as always to do our podcast.
And do that Home Invader song about you. I don't even know who you are.
That's right. We've been doing stuff and things and moving, and we're coming at you live from Tapeleg Studios.
The new place, downtown, Capitol Hill.
Downtown-ish. Close enough.
Yeah.
Love it. This is good stuff right here. This is how we always envisioned it, and James is back in town. So the boys are back in town. So it's been a little while, but
it has been. It's been too long.
But we've been busy, and they're, you know, obviously the Avalanche didn't finish the season like we wanted them to. So
no,
a little bit less to talk about, and a little less motivation. But we're back in your ear hole. I can't take credit for that. That was all James. But man, we're back in your ear hole. This is episode number 73 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. We couldn't find like a prominent, or I really couldn't even find a 73.
Oh, there is a 73.
It might have been a preseason guy, but we're going to flip the numbers and make it the Ryan O'Reilly edition of the show.
Number 37. That's 73 backwards.
Thank you. A great year by Ryan O'Reilly, by the youngster, one of the guys that gets mentioned as the next captain of the Colorado Avalanche. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit more about him later, but some memorable moments by him this year, especially the overtime winner against the Hurricanes with 1.2 seconds. I'm just plugging my last blog post too. So if you haven't seen it, I posted my top, I think it was like 12 goals of the Avalanche season on AvsHockeyPodcast.com. So mm-hmm. You're feeling like highlights, check that out. So I had a good time with that one.
You know, I mean, we could have always gone with number 3 and number 7.
We could have.
We could have done like Carlos Graston's Curtis Lecision, but
I would have liked that.
Yeah. But we're not.
No, we're not.
It's not going to happen.
Maybe another time.
I don't know when.
Could have been Aaron Miller. And who's another number 7?
Johnny Boychuk.
No.
TJ Hensick.
No.
Vander Gulick.
No. Is that about it?
DeVries?
I think DeVries, okay. Yeah. Okay. Good talk. All right. So the Avalanche finished the season.
Darby Hendrickson, by the way.
We can go with Darby.
Darby? Okay.
Yeah.
He only played for 1 year.
He did. But he wore a third jersey, so you know he's cool. The old burgundy. So.
Oh, I love the old burgundy.
Who doesn't?
I know.
Everybody loves them.
I know.
Right on. The Avalanche, like we said, didn't finish the season quite like anybody wanted them to. They couldn't quite keep that pace up, but they made a good run at it.
That was the thing with the finish of that season, is that what was frustrating for me was how much promise they showed at certain times in the season. Of course, the previous season, they showed promise, and then they just fell apart like like nobody's business. I mean, just like you never see, unless you're like, I don't know, an Indianapolis Colts fan or something.
True. You know, I thought you didn't follow football. I mean,
was that football? Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no, I...
but
I couldn't tell you anything else about it.
But the thing is, it led to a Gabriel Landeskog, so...
It did, and you know, this year, of course, the Avs didn't even have a number one pick, traded away to the Washington Capitals. And I know a lot of people were more upset that they could possibly give away a lottery pick. And I'm happy that it wasn't a lottery pick, but you know, I think we talked about that.
Yeah, we have.
About that pick before. That,
it's been an ongoing.
Yeah, once it's traded away, it's gone. It's done.
But then towards the end of the year, and especially, I mean, you watch Varley do very well. And
oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm not sure if he led his team, but he's got some serious offense in front of him. But they win the Worlds, and I don't know if you'd say it put him on the map, but... you know, really shows that pick is, I guess, more worth it than people thought originally, and that's good enough for me, at least right now.
The hard thing, and this is something that I think that whenever I've talked to people about it, they kind of start going, yeah, I can see what you mean by this. If it weren't for the trade and it weren't for the Avalanche signing Varlamov, he would have been signed. He would have gone to Russia and played for Lokomotiv, mm-hmm. which means that he would have been on the plane that crashed and killed the entire Lokomotiv team.
Yeah.
He had lots of friends on that team. He, you know, he had lots of connections with that team. And as you can imagine, it would mess with your mind. And there's, if it didn't, there would be something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So I personally, even though, you know, hockey and stats and all of that, I give him a pass on the first half of that season. There's, sure. there's just, what are you going to do? And I think about like J.S. Chiguer, who played very well for the Avalanche, but there have been many times in his career where his emotions would be worn on his sleeve, when he was having hard times, his play went downhill, and that's just life.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much that you can really, I think that you can really say about things like that, yeah. and how much you expect from somebody. Yes, they're getting paid a lot of money to perform, but at the same time, they're still people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That does get lost in the mix. There's no doubt about
that. I
think
that. It does.
Yeah. But it was, especially those two guys. I mean, solid in net, something mm-hmm. the Avalanche haven't had for a pretty long time.
When was the last time that they had a goalie that when one could falter, you could definitely go to the other? And the last time I can think about that would be Wah Abisher,
yeah.
when Abisher was still the backup.
Yeah. Well, and there was a stretch. I mean, it all depends, but there was a stretch where you have the Budai Theodore.
But then
one Budai, has to absolutely fall apart.
Well, and then Budai Theodore just, did. Budai and, stepped in.
And Budai just steals the starting job anyways.
Right.
But this was I think it was made pretty clear from the very beginning that Chiguer was going to be the backup. People are, you know, he obviously has that respect in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into a season like we just watched, but it all worked out. And I know the players learned a lot from Chiguer. I'm sure Varley learned a lot from Chiguer and just how he handled himself. Mm-hmm. And when Varley did have some back problems or his knee problems, or he was having a tough time mentally, Chiguer was ready to step in right away, and he did great too. So
yeah.
that gave the team a chance, and they took advantage of that. And that was fun to watch. It's like we said, I don't know if there's ever been a really strong 1-2 punch. You've got a Hall of Famer, which is one thing, but you know, then when you have a backup, just a backup, just to hold a place down right. until the Hall of Famer is ready to go again. So it was nice.
Yeah. I mean, when you had like Marty Brodeur in his heyday, you could throw me in as the backup.
Absolutely.
And who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just give the guy a break for back to back.
Yeah. He plays 70 games a year.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah. Exactly. Pekka Rene this year, what did he do? Like 75?
A lot. Yeah. It's just
some ridiculous amount of games.
It's got to wear on a guy after a while.
But then you also have like with Chiguer, one of the nice things about him is he's won his cup. He won a cup. He won
and Conn Smythe.
Conn Smythe as the yeah. And so when it's time for him to go back to being a backup, there's no problem. There's no question about it. And he doesn't mind. And
no.
Also, but didn't he have a little bit of a back issue or groin issue?
Was it this year?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well,
this
past year was his only year.
Yeah.
Us, so.
Yeah. I think, I mean, both of them.
I mean, Jaguar's had groin issues. He had groin issues in Toronto.
Most goalies have.
Yeah.
I have groin issues daily.
Yeah. I don't.
Nope. Yeah.
Just look at his groin and it goes sideways. What are you doing looking at his groin?
We have issues here.
Settle down. Oh, there was a great little aside. There was a great news comedy show out of the BBC years ago, and they had a sports guy, Alan O'Hanrahan, I think was his name, and he would go to sports figures and start talking about their groins in really like excruciating detail, and the sports guy's like, why are you talking about my groin? My groin's fine. And he's like, but when the tendons are pulling apart, and just really getting way too into talking about the groin. It was hilarious.
Crash humor. It never gets old.
It was definitely a play on why. Anyways,
there we go.
There was the aside, but but Chiguer, the groin. I don't know. I mean, I know that we're gonna talk a little bit about Sherman and Sacco.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want to talk about this move with Sherman and how you kind of rate the guy after things like that. Like
that's
getting
right. He definitely earned some credibility along with the late season trades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sacco, I think people think a little something different, but that's the natural thing. People try and people blame the head coach way quicker than they blame the GM.
Well, it's just like firing coaches. It's easy to fire one guy that you're paying $1 million a year and doesn't count against the salary cap, mm-hmm. versus trying to get rid of a whole bunch of guys that are the real problem.
The joy of watching pro sports and being a fan,
and not it is right and there. Not knowing what's going on in the locker room.
Yeah.
Even the people, even the media who have access, oftentimes have no idea what the interactions are like. I think it's one of those fallacies that it's easy for us to go, well, why don't our beat reporters, or why don't these people know about these things? Because
even if they ask, the players aren't going to tell them anyways.
No.
But from what I know, this team has a lot of good chemistry.
Yeah.
And they were not very pleased. I don't think any team is really pleased when they miss the playoffs, but that was a goal of theirs. They didn't meet it, and hopefully that serves as motivation for next year. And
it just came out that Ilya Kovalchuk was going to request a trade out of the Devils after last season. Hmm. This whole season goes by. We're into the finals, and then it finally comes out that this happened because his mom let it slip.
Yep.
And of course, you know, nobody's going to talk about it, but nobody knew. And that's a well-covered team, you know?
Yeah.
That's so, yeah, what are you going to know?
Especially hockey. Yeah. Those guys, I mean, they're not intentionally secretive. Well, they are, but that's all part of the culture. And that's the mystery behind everything, because it's cliche.
Well, especially when you have to be part of a team like that, that's always going to be relying on you. You have to have that kind of that dynamic.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it leads to, you know, more interesting stuff. So
you can't all be Kyle Quincy.
No. And then come out and say, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean it. I was a he of the moment. Okay. Thanks, Kyle. Stay classy, bud. What else? Power plays. Let's talk power plays just real quick. Through the March 28th game against the Canucks, it didn't really matter as far as power plays, but basically the Avalanche had about half the opportunities they had in 2005-2006 throughout the season. It kept coming up, and people are saying, oh, we're getting, you know, jobbed by the referees and this and this and that and that. I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, I've always said you have to earn your power plays. I think it's a little different era in the NHL as well, but what's your take on that as far as the officiating and things like that?
I know that it's very easy to blame the refs, and I'm not a blame the refs guy. I just never have been. But part of that is also that, you know, I took a reffing class and, you know, got my reffing card years ago. It was low level, nothing special, but it did change my perspective. It really made me look at how the refs see the game differently than I had looked at their position before. You just take your chances. There were people who were talking about, you know, like, oh, there are too many power plays at times, and there's too little power plays at times. As long as it's honest, that's all I care about. You know, if something's honestly missed, then fine, move on and, you know, get the work done 5-on-5.
Yeah. And I think they played well 5-on-5, but they were so busy killing penalties too. I mean, it was so lopsided. I don't know the number besides, as far as how many penalties they had to kill, but it was a lot more, obviously. But
I would have liked to have seen the stats. I mean, I'm sure it's out there.
I should have.
What the league-wide stats were for power plays. Because I know there were games where the Avs didn't get a single power play, and there were like five.
Yeah, and they hadn't had one for like 5 years. I mean, I don't know. I think it became like this ongoing thing. Sacco throughout the season, and especially late, started saying things about it and through the media. And I know, I mean, I don't know how you know, well that goes with everybody else and how well anybody's listening as far as the officiating or the NHL. Mm. I mean, he was being very careful as far as trying to figure out what he's going to say. And he obviously wasn't happy with it, but I'm more about the calls are going to even themselves out eventually if you work hard enough, and you have to earn your power plays. And at times the Avalanche didn't play well enough to even earn a power play. Although, you know, especially the one where Ryan O'Reilly got his nose broken and we talked about that one. Yeah. We talked about that a couple shows ago, and that happens, I guess, but it's working hard enough so those plays are forgotten. And I don't know, but I guarantee you they're in the bottom of the 5-on-3.
Yeah.
To where I did keep track of that, at least in my head. It's not on our notes, but they had 2 minutes and 8 seconds of 5-on-3 action the entire season. So I don't know whether that's, you know, are you missing a guy, a huge guy that you can park in front that'll draw penalties, you know, like a slash or interference, or whatever it is, but something wasn't quite right when it came to drawing power plays. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, and if you're watching the playoffs right now, I mean, there are absolute muggings going on in front of the net without anybody having the puck. It's amazing to me that some of this stuff isn't getting called. There's cross checks, there's interference, there's all kinds of stuff in front of the net that isn't getting called, and I don't understand why. And apparently the GMs don't either, because they've been talking about, has the standard slipped? They need to talk to the refs. Sure. They need to whatnot. And that's, I think that's important to keep in mind, that it's not just the fans, but that the GMs, they feel like the general standard is slipped right now.
Yeah. And that's hard to argue with. And maybe it is time for the league to revisit that. And, But the way things are going, and I guess viewership in the playoffs is up like 40% since, you know, from last year.
And yeah, game one down 25%.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Is it a Rangers thing? Is it so many more people watching the Rangers, and now that they're out? I mean, I don't know, but
I think
there's a lot of factors that go into it.
I think there are a lot of factors. It's New Jersey. I mean, there weren't that many people at the arena.
Nobody shows up usually until the playoffs anyways.
So. The there was a post on Puck Daddy today, and they had a picture of a bunch of Devils fans in a deli nearby the arena. I thought, wow, that's more fans than sometimes went to the games. It's absolutely ridiculous
how few sandwich.
People go to the Devils game since they moved. And, you know, of course the viewership's going to be down. It's a dull team.
Yeah.
It's a dull team that has one, that basically they have two big stars. They have about three or four guys who are interesting. And then a lot of people who is that?
Peter Sikora is still in the league?
Yeah, he sure is.
Yeah.
Brian Gionta is still playing?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Well, I don't know. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I think that for the Avs and the power play, I think it's easy to go, well, the Avs are getting hosed, but you make your chances.
Absolutely.
You know, there's another blog post from Backhand Shelf, Justin Bourne, talked about diving, and he was like, oh yeah, of course I've gone down when I didn't have to, but what's the value of breaking, like when you've got a guy who's putting his stick on you and gives you a tug, what's the value of
keep going,
settle down, stay on that side of the
sorry ice hockey, keep going.
When a guy's gonna, you know, if a guy puts the stick on you, what's the value of fighting through it? Chances are you're not going to be in the same position that you were a moment ago when you had maybe a better stance, better, you know, better puck possession, a better shot. If you go down soft, you know, if you take a dive, supposedly, you know, and rather than fight through it, you're going to get 2 minutes of power play rather than what's now a missed opportunity.
Or just, yeah, something that just fell apart.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that the Avs should dive, but I'm saying that, you know, there can be a fine line between fighting through those things.
Well, and there's also the factor of, say, an Ovechkin's making a move and gets taken down, and say an O'Reilly. You know, there's that respect factor that plays into every call, and the Avalanche are kind of missing that veteran presence up front, except for maybe a Hajduk, to where you're going to get calls. There's not many guys on the Avalanche that are just going to get calls. And Hajduk playing on the fourth line towards the end of the year, getting 5, 6, 7 minutes of ice time, he's not out there to get any calls anyways. And that's not really his style. He doesn't fight through checks. He works his hands and makes you look silly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot, I think a lot of different factors go into it. It's just too easy to say, oh, we're getting hosed by the refs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing, but there's a lot of others as well. So speaking of Milan Hajduk. I mean, everybody thought he was going to retire just because of how his season ended last year. And before you know it, even before the season's over, he has a brand new one-year, $2 million deal. There's your captain. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Where he's going to fit, nobody's quite sure still, because of how the young guys played and where he ended last year. I mean, I know he wants to be back. I'm sure he's still got a little bit in the tank. I mean, especially if he's going to make the decision that quickly. I mean, I wasn't exactly excited and jumping out of my seat to say, hey, he's back. But, you know,
that's because of your most recent jersey acquisition.
I don't think it was that. But
which jersey
did
you get?
That didn't help. I got his white jersey, set 3 jersey that he was wearing in Calgary when he scored his first goal in 23 games. It was off a one-timer, too. I mean, the guy barely – I mean, a snapshot is something rare for him, but this was basically from the high slot. I mean, a full one-time slap shot that he scored on, and that was his last goal of the year, and he had one goal in the last, like, 26 or 27 games.
Yeah.
And I maybe it's his pride kicking in. I mean, he's not going to come back if he doesn't feel like he can do it. And the Avalanche, I would trust, definitely wouldn't sign him if they knew he didn't still have it in him. So he'll be back for another year. Like I said, I wasn't, and didn't have that much to do with the jersey, but I wasn't that excited about him coming back, but I definitely don't mind either. So I hope a lot of other Avalanche fans feel the same way. He's got something to prove, and he doesn't want to go out in that style, and hopefully he can help the team next year as well. So.
I'm still wondering if there's an injury issue with him.
It's, I mean, he seemed pretty healthy. I mean, I don't know. I also saw some interview with one of the Czech papers that said, you know, it was tough that his coach lost confidence in him. So, I mean, there could be that too. I mean, who knows about the story?
A lot of people lost confidence in him.
Yeah, I mean, including maybe himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
it reminds me of Matt Sundin when he signed with the Canucks. And the thought was, well, it's Matt Sundin. You can put him on the fourth line and he's still going to improve your team. And the reality was he didn't.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case.
That didn't work so well. Yeah.
And so is there a value to putting Hajduk on the fourth line? I don't think there is.
I don't think so either. I mean, maybe what it is he makes your power play that much better. I mean, he's always going to be a sniper. And I think Dater brought it up as well. He does bring up points every once in a while that I really do like in the shootout. Mm-hmm. He was like the third or fourth most efficient shootout player in the NHL last year, as far as he had like six or seven shootout goals. I can't remember the number, but I mean, as often as games go in the shootout, as often as those points can mean something eventually down the road.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to have that kind of guy, and he's going to be your leadoff guy every single time.
And the Florida Panthers signed Wojtek Volski when they traded for him. The whole reason they traded for him was because of the shootout, which is, of course, you know, where he's pretty much the only place he's effective anymore.
That's about it. Yeah.
God's sake. But sorry, that was kind of snarky.
Avalanche fans understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, Hajduk, looking down the list, you want to talk about veteran presence. Where else is it other than Jaguar? Where else is it? And for the Avs, it doesn't exist. I mean, one of the youngest teams, Weren't they the youngest team or second youngest team?
It depended on who was healthy and who was moving in and out of the lineup.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, they kept, as they bring up guys that are, you know, depending on which veteran or which, you know, really young guy they brought up from Lake Erie, because Vander Gulick, I think, is 27 or 28. He's a little bit older, whereas you've got other guys that are way younger. So
I didn't realize he was that young.
I think the average kind of switched around. But yeah, they were obviously the youngest or near the youngest team all year long. So, I mean, the Avalanche obviously saw something that was there. He took a $1 million pay cut. I believe he's making $3 million last year. So, I mean, good for him. He's coming back for pride. He still has something to prove. He doesn't want to go out the way his season ended last year. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. I mean, we're always going to root for him. Obviously, he's a classy guy and the only guy left from the 2001 Stanley Cup team. So, I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
And hopefully he does well. We'd all like to see that, obviously.
Hey, that was 11 years ago.
Yeah. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah. Not to make you sad.
Need more playoff hockey. Was this three out of 4 years with no playoff hockey?
Yeah.
And then you watch playoff hockey and you're like, well, I'd like to see the Avalanche here, but I also didn't see an Avalanche team for most of this season that would be able to compete on this level. And
I waxed and waned about whether or not I felt they would be, you know, whether I wanted the Avs in the playoffs or out of the playoffs. And you want them in the playoffs.
I'd rather have them go and get work than not make it at all.
Yeah. It would be nice to see some of these guys get a little bit of that experience.
Sure.
And that intensity. But boy, I mean, look at how the Sharks did this season. The Sharks were not a bad team.
Yeah, they're good.
And they got booted right the heck
out. Well, I mean, you look at the Kings and you look how much they struggled throughout the year. They change coaches. They start to turn around about the right time during the playoffs. They really, you know, kind of separate themselves between the four or five teams gunning for that 7-8 spot in the Western Conference. And then the rest is like history. I mean, they're just flat rolling. So, I mean, it's
from the goaltender on down.
I mean, you have to get your breaks, obviously. Yeah. And I've always said, you know, you have to play well at the right time. But, and I guess, you know, home ice to these guys doesn't mean anything. They've won all 10 of their road games so far as we record this. And it's just amazing what they've done. And
they've gone 14-2 at this point.
That's
after
crazy.
Game two.
Yeah. And you'd think between a week between, you know, their last Western Conference finals game and the first game of the Stanley Cup that they lose some momentum. Not really. They're just solid. And that's what solid goaltending will do. And that will timely scoring. And you have to play well at the right time. And You just have to get in, and it doesn't matter how you did during the regular season. I mean, home ice doesn't mean as much as it did at one time. So I don't know if that's here or there, but man. Well, I mean, it's amazing.
The Devils have only scored one legitimate goal in those two games. I mean, the game one, the goal went in off of the chest of one of the Kings. It was a fluky goal.
Yeah.
You know, it counted. It was a legitimate goal, but it wasn't a goal that they really earned that they shot in themselves.
Along those lines, I just continue to change my take on it. It's always, you know, you have to get in, you have to play well at the right time, but man, you always have a shot once you're in. You got solid goaltending, you got the Quicks and the Brodeurs of the world, and who knows what might happen. You don't have to score more than two regulation goals and score two overtime goals, and all of a sudden, on the road, James, you just touched my iPad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can touch my iPad all you want.
Really?
Yeah. That's weird. Right on. But, I mean, it's just fun to watch, and it's good hockey, and it's good to see teams. I mean, Kings, Devils, really? Did anybody say this was going to happen? No. I mean, it's not going to happen.
What was it, number six and number eight?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's like the first time in years that somebody who wasn't, you know, top four didn't make it to the final.
Well, and then year before in the Eastern Conference, it was in the second round, 5, 6, 7, 8, make it to the second round. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? You just have to play well at the right time, play solid, get a few breaks.
And yet still, I mean, did you have any confidence that the Avs would have any kind of success in the playoffs if they had made it?
Not really, but I mean, heck, I'm sure there's Kings and Devils fans that, maybe not Kings fans because they were rolling pretty well, but Devils fans for sure.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, well, at least they're in. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Before you know it, they're in the finals.
To get through the Rangers, yeah.
Yeah, are you kidding? Yeah. I mean, the Rangers were playing well, and they just weren't playing well at the right time. They just kind of fizzled out. So it's all about timing.
Mm-hmm. Spent all their energy trying to kick out the Capitals and look what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how that all works out. So, all right, Sherman and Sacco, what you got?
Well,
they're back, by the way, for those of you that haven't heard.
Yeah.
Sacco, they announced a two-year deal with Sacco. I was like, oh, 2 years. But, I mean, I think Terry Fry, I just ask you a question, then I walk all over it. But Terry Fry comes out and says firing Sacco or Sherman would send the wrong message to the fans that they're not going in the right direction. And I thought that was a pretty good point. To where if you do get rid of a Sacco after the year that they had, even though they are moving in the right direction, I mean, basically saying, no, we weren't moving in the right direction. So, I mean, I can see Fry's point. I thought the two-year deal, I guess I just wasn't expecting either one of those things to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the two-year deal kind of surprised me with Sacco, but, I mean, it's hard to say he hasn't quite earned it either. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts about those guys?
I think Terry Fry's a smart guy, and I think he makes a good point with Sherman, but less so with Sacco. You can change coaching on a dime if you have to. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to adapt right away. But look at what happened in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know, they changed coaches to Hitchcock. He implements his system. Boom, they're on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that they got bounced as early as they did. It's almost amazing that they didn't make it all, you know, into the finals, but them's the breaks.
I'm wondering if the Avalanche have how many coaches on the books right now too. I mean, I don't know how long Granato's deal was. I know that was a while back, but
I don't think it was very long. I think it was only like 1 or 2.
Yeah,
years.
I don't know. That was
pretty. You know, well, we don't know about this.
That was something that I thought about. I mean, how many coaches? I mean, once they have a contract, I think their contracts are guaranteed. So they're
guaranteed until your next contract. Okay. So Quenneville, as soon as he gets signed somewhere, he's fine. I think didn't Quenneville expire?
I
think he actually expired rather.
Yeah,
than,
I don't know exactly what it was, but
and you know, hey, Hartley's coming back.
He is.
He's going to be we're going to see him in the with the
we'll
Flames.
See him 6 times a year.
Man.
So that'll be 6 or 8. 6.
6 again. Yeah, because we're in the same format as last year. 6.
So that'll be fun. If there is hockey.
Well, that'll be hockey. We'll talk about the next lockout in a moment.
There's got to be hockey. Come on.
But Sherman, a lot of people thought he was on crack, and I was not. I would be lying if I said I wasn't one of them.
I just laugh if he goes up.
Many people thought he was on crack.
Our GM has a substance abuse problem.
An issue. they thought he was.
He's locked in his office again.
And now, but look at the moves that he made that actually worked out really well.
Yeah, he earned some
and these are moves that people thought,
including you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People thought I was fine with the Varlamov move. Most people thought it was a horrible move. I think there's still plenty of time for it to see which direction it goes, but there's no such thing as a guarantee. There isn't even a guaranteed first round you know, draft.
It's all a gamble, the whole thing.
Hey, here's something I hadn't actually thought about until just now. They traded away their first round pick, but last season they got a number one overall pick in a trade. So, hey, it all works out, right?
That's true.
The Johnson.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he played, you know, the last half of his season was pretty solid.
Yeah. So, you know.
Steve Downey was a first rounder.
Yeah. They traded away a first round pick. They got a couple actual NHL players back that were first. Anyways.
And they came in and had an impact. And Downey, I think.
Just take that sugar that I'm trying to coat it with.
No, you're right. I'm cool with that. But, I mean, Downey, too, he was hurt. I mean, Downey hurt his shoulder, and I think he went in for surgery not long after the year. And you could see exactly when that happened and how his numbers dropped off. But there's some serious chemistry. And
tell me you wouldn't make the, they got rid of Quincy. The thing with that whole Quincy Downey trade was it wasn't judged for the Quincy Downey trade. It was judged by the first round pick Wings traded, which we talked about that before. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's judge the Jamie McGinn trade. Tell me you wouldn't make that trade in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And was it the guy who the prospect Scarborough Country, whatever it is, Jason and Randy Sklar? Those are comedians that are on ESPN.
Unlike ourselves, yeah.
That guy, I can't remember. What was he like? One of the players of the year or first team All Star or something? Yeah. That was a great trade. You know, why wouldn't you be happy with that? I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I wonder if Sherman just looks back at the deals like, whoa, I did that.
I think Avs fans should look back at the deals and go, hey, look, he did that.
Yeah, absolutely. Led to some more street cred for him. So he can buy more high quality crack that way.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and really, you know, the truth of the matter is if you got rid of Sherman, you know, there are people out there that they could pick up, but what they really what the Avs need in a GM is somebody not just who can be a GM for the team, but can fit in with Lacroix and his you know, as president of the Avs, the ownership situation where you have a guy who is more of a basketball guy.
Absolutely.
Admittedly is more of a basketball guy, but is understanding hockey a little better, becoming more of a hockey guy. You need somebody as GM who's going to fit into that as well as running the team.
There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And you're not going to find a, you know, Pierre McGuire is not going to do that.
Hey, he could.
No, he's not going to do
that. No.
He could tell you where everybody was from.
What would happen if he became the GM of the Avalanche?
He would probably find out where all the fans were from and start telling them.
Be straight spooky.
Hey, James Gray, you're born in Burnsville, Minnesota. Product of the of Boulder County school systems.
Good old Pierre McGuire. Love that guy. Not really. All right. What else?
You didn't make air quotes. But anyway, so Sherman, I'm good with keeping Sherman. There is no map to every trade. Every trade isn't going to be won by somebody and lost by somebody. And, you know, he made some weird trades that were like, what is going on here? And they actually worked out.
Yeah. So we'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that I don't mind Chris Stewart being gone.
Yeah.
I miss Shattenkirk more, but you know, whatever. You don't, they're the good with the bad, the, you know, things you have to give up in trades. And that's just the way it is.
And it's just those things where if I mean, really, we can't control anything that happens. We can just cheer for our team. But it's just you can get all bent out of shape about it, and that's fine. You can find a reason why the season didn't go the way it should have, the way you thought it should have, because I think pretty much every team except for, the Maple Leafs fans, or there's a couple different fans that are going to be like, yeah, we're not going to win the Stanley Cup anytime soon. But for everybody else, I mean,
Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I mean, looking for reasons why the season didn't turn out, you know, like it only turns out for one team every year. It kind of gets old after a while, too.
Yeah, but that's Sacco's problem.
That's true.
His fault.
That is. So we can blame somebody.
Okay, so
fire Sacco.
So Sherman. Okay, yeah, I'm good with him coming back.
The Shermanator. The Shermanator.
Shermanator? I can't come up with one.
Okay.
Right now.
But you tried.
Yeah. The Sackitator. Sackitators?
Yeah, that's...
Nah, it doesn't work. No. But Sacco... good and bad. I think that part of the problem is that, like, you see coaches that get bent out of shape, that get emotional during the game, and Sacco just isn't one of those guys. He doesn't jump up. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't do a lot of that.
Not like Hartley. Like, I can't wait to see Hartley say F me 20 times.
Granado?
Mm-hmm. How about Granado will just go into the opposition's bench and just take everybody.
Granado standing on the bench on the as assistant for the Penguins. Look at what, you know. Well, and was during the playoffs.
Yeah, and then the Steve Moore thing. I mean, he basically wanted to go tear Mark Crawford up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was, yeah, I guess you can respect that. And
it's how he played the game, and that's how he, you know, that's how he coaches. It's hard to, you can't just turn that off. But even Quenneville, you know, getting angry and yelling at the refs and things like that. And you look at, you know, I think that the NHL does kind of a disservice to the fans, or it's not the NHL necessarily, whoever broadcasts hockey all the time. It's every broadcaster. So there's a penalty, and now we're going to show you the opposing coach and how the opposing coach reacts can make as much of a difference in a fan's opinion about that person than anything else.
And the really good coaches will do it just to do it. They'll they'll do it just to show they care and maybe to stick up for their player, even though they might not agree with it or whatever. You see it a lot in baseball too, where you're just trying to stick up for your player, let alone, I mean, the call is what it is, and no one's going to change their mind, but you're just trying to stick up. But they never show Sacco because Sacco never does anything worth showing.
Chewing his gum.
Yeah, you just don't see him doing anything very often. So I'm sure the director's like, yeah, cut to Sacco, and like, oh, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, why bother with that?
Sweet. So I know that's a factor, and I know, well, and two, the Avalanche had such a nice run at the end of the year, and they gave themselves a chance to get into it, and then, you know, it was hard to keep up that pace, but, you know, during the Blue Jackets game, they lose another game to the Blue Jackets at home. They lost those two games, and I think when it comes down to a season like that where you're that close, you got like five or six games where you look back on, and it's just like, you know, they give up a late goal, or they don't get a bounce, or they don't get a call, and whatever, but, I mean, people go right back to Fire Sacco. Fire Sacco.
Okay.
It's just too easy to say that.
That's because of the result of the end of the season. Right. Now, let's go back to something else that's a little more positive that Sacco didn't get credit for. Tampa Bay Lightning game this year. Before that game, there was Lightning versus Flyers. It was a national broadcast TV where the Flyers just waited. The Lightning would set up the trap. The 1-3-1 trap.
Yeah, and they just sat.
Flyers would just sit there, and they just pass the puck back and forth and just basically show the Lightning, we're not going to play into your game, right? Fine. Boring as hell. Everybody was up in arms, blah, 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 whatever.
Watch this.
What did the Avs do? The Avs broke the trap. How'd they break the trap? They did it by not letting the Lightning set up the trap. They, as soon as there was a turnover, no matter what the Avs were doing, start down the other end. Yeah. Just even making that quick decision to transition fast and move down the other end. Who did that? That was coaching.
Yeah.
Part of that was coaching. That was analyzing what the other team was doing, how to do it. What is, the scourge of the NHL, especially pre-lockout, was the trap. Yeah. You know, Sacco.
This team is built for speed, and he brings it up all the time too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something he talks about all the time. We want to use our speed, and against most teams, that's actually a pretty good thing. Against some teams, it doesn't work that well. But yeah, I really like your point.
Yeah, during that game, I was watching for it. You almost never saw the Lightning set up a 1-3-1 trap.
Yep,
and
because they didn't have time.
And for those of you who aren't sure what the heck I'm talking about, just because if you know what I'm talking about, tune out for a second here. I just want to really quickly describe this. You've got one guy way back in the zone, three guys pretty much lined up near the red line, or, you know, in the neutral zone, and then one guy out in front as they're all basically skating backwards. Whichever way the puck goes, you're the guy in front defensively kind of pushes you off, rides you towards the boards, and that's why so many teams have to dump and chase.
You're trapped.
Once you dump, the guy in the very back goes back, digs out the puck, and starts out the other end. That's the trap, basically, the 1-3-1.
There it is. The hockey minute.
Yeah.
James Sampaglielian.
As best I can describe it.
No, you did a good job. We need a whiteboard.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be cool.
You know what? Maybe I'll just write it on one of these index cards we got here, and then
people would take
a picture of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was, you know, that's a real issue for some teams, and that was kind of like the Devils, Minnesota Wild. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much their style. Go to the trap. Always go to the trap as soon as possible. And
one thing beats a trap.
That's speed.
Yeah, it happens in basketball as well. You got a good point guard that can dribble through everybody. Your trap and your full court pressure don't mean that much. So, I hear you. I like that.
Thanks. So, anyways, Sacco. I think that's something that That was one thing that I thought that he deserved some credit for.
Sure.
That was easy to overlook because it's kind of like when people complain about European players or like especially Russian players came up recently. Any success that a Russian player would have would be attributed to that person, but any failure would be considered a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Russian people are like this, or Russian players are like that, or European players are like that. It's kind of a similar thing. Any failure seemed to be heaped on Sacco, while any success was heaped on the team.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one place where Sacco maybe deserves some credit where he didn't get
it. I'm cool with that. So, you know, and I wasn't super excited with the 2-year deal. Like I said, I saw 2 years and like, yeah, but I mean, who else would you go with? And would you have to start over and lose some of the momentum that you've built up already? And we're going to have to wait and see. But getting rid of a coach and hiring a new one really isn't that difficult either. Yeah. So I guess that's why the fans aren't allowed to make those decisions, huh?
Who out there right now would you hire? I mean, it's amazing that Hartley's back.
Hitchcock was the last big one.
Yeah,
you can see how well that worked out with St. Louis.
Actually, I'm glad that Hitchcock isn't here because, you know, that the Hitchcock system, at least of old, was pretty dull.
Well, you have to find somebody that's gonna find the strengths of the team and really, you know, build a team around those strengths. And you want some of that continuity, and we'll see if that pays off.
So, what were they saying about the Kings St. Louis series? It was going to be the lowest scoring one ever, and that's not what this team is necessarily built for.
No.
They're built more for your, you know, around O'Reilly.
O'Reilly especially. Yeah. Those two with the forecheck and those two just really slowing teams down. And I mean, they're not necessarily going to kill you with their speed, but speed is one of those weapons that they can use with a Duchesne.
When you can get through people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as the young kids get bigger and stronger, including those three, which is, it's really exciting to hopefully be able to watch those guys in the burgundy and blue for years to come. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, while we're talking about Landis Calder, that's your Calder winner. No.
Oh yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think so. Yeah. It's Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
Yes.
And, Henrique, is that the, Devil's kid?
Adam Henrique is the third one. Yeah, I guess so. And some of the stuff he's done in the playoffs.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
No, you can't count that. It's not fair.
Well, yeah, he could.
Because he's got extra games that nobody else does. But Landeskog was a man amongst boys.
I think the voting's already been done before the...
I mean, he's a man amongst boys. There's nothing more that Landeskog could have done this year that really would have made me any really happier than...
Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Patrick Kane or Landeskog? I mean, you'd look at the two. You could put them right next to each other and you'd think, well, they're pretty much the same, right? No,
even close. Yeah. I'm really excited to watch Landeskog. I mean, that's that's a solid all around player right there, and all of his shots on net. And congratulations for him actually for making the Team Sweden team that played in the World Championships. And he wore one of the alternate A's as a 19-year-old. I mean, that's a sign of respect as well. So, I mean, good for him. Good for Ryan O'Reilly, who played for Canada. Who else? Varlamov,
winning goaltender.
There was one other too, Stastny.
Yeah,
there you go.
And Stastny had a good play.
And we can talk about this a little bit as well. I mean, yeah, congratulations to Varley. Yeah. You're winning goaltender. You've got probably the hottest player in the world in Malkin with a whole bunch of help with him. But, hey, I mean, what are you going to do? But Varley looked great. He's got a good team in front of him. So did Stastny. They played pretty well. I watched Stastny as much as I could, and he looked solid. And they really rely on him on the power play to move the puck around and kind of quarterback it, at least down low in the corners and things like that. And that's what Stastny's good at. I think it's time for, you know, at least some Avalanche fans to forget about him being a 40-50 goal scorer and someone who is just going to take over a game. He's just not that kind of a player, but you surround him with some talent, he makes everybody else around him better. And and it's obvious too. I'd like to see him shoot more. I think everybody like to see him shoot more, including maybe the coaching staff.
Yeah.
But he's also, I mean, he's very cognizant of setting people up and drawing the defenders. And when's the last time he made a play? I mean, he obviously makes mistakes, but when's the last time you saw Paul Stastny make a play and go, well, that was stupid. That was a hockey stupid move. He doesn't. He's got these instincts that you never, I mean, he doesn't make a bad pass, or it might have been tipped or whatever, but I mean, he's got amazing instincts as well. So, I mean, every international competition that comes up, he's on Team USA. So he's obviously one of the best in our country to play the game. And I'm happy to see what he's done, and hopefully he can continue to grow as an Avalanche.
I'll give you a pop quiz here. All right. Who was number one in goals this year?
The league?
No, for the Avs.
Oh, for the Avalanche, it was it Ryan O'Reilly?
It was Landeskog with 22. Okay. Who was number two in goals?
O'Reilly was behind him, no?
It was Paul Stastny.
No kidding.
Who was number one in points for the Avs this year?
Landeskog?
It was O'Reilly. Who was number two?
God dang. I'm having a hard time here. Who's number two in points?
Yeah.
Paul Stastny.
That's right.
Yes.
So he was number two in goals.
One for four.
He was number two in points. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
you want to look at all-time numbers too?
We'll look at all-time numbers in just a second. But there was the most goals scored by any player was Landeskog with 22. This is not
just nothing.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a team that's built for speed and that should be offensively better than they were all season long. But it's not, there wasn't a single player that scored 25 goals on this team. There wasn't, the most points were 55.
Shoot.
That is not a great, that is not great.
Shoot Stastny, shoot it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to, to bitch about Stastny, complain about Stastny, at every turn, as though it's all his fault. It's not all his fault. There is the whole team had these issues.
Absolutely.
There needs to be more offense. And things like, bringing in Jamie McGinn, the Scarbosa kid, when he comes up, things like that. There's a little more hope, in the future. And also, again, this is a team that didn't have a offensively gifted defense either. Lyles is gone, who's offensive defenseman. Shattenkirk.
Yeah.
Same
deal. Then you've got an Eric Johnson who started to pick up his game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the kind of leadership he brings back there and why he wears an alternate A.
Smart defenseman.
Absolutely.
He didn't always execute, especially that first half of the season, but
you could see it. You could see him kind of evolve throughout the season, and that was kind of fun. We can talk about him a little bit more later. All-time stats. We know that Paul Stastny in the Quebec Nordique and the Colorado Avalanche era, he's in the top 10 of scoring in the franchise, in both of those franchises, with some serious Hall of Fame names, the Michel Goulets, the Guy Lafleurs, everybody like that. Mm-hmm. But just Avalanche, we've got Joe Sakic, 1. Milan Hayduk, 2. Peter Forsberg, 3. Alex Tanguay is 4. There's so many people that hate Alex Tanguay, but he had 400 points in 450 Avalanche games. And then you have Paul Stastny.
Here's the thing, Alex Tanguay always gets a bad rap. Nobody likes Tanguay, blah, 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 blah. And what do they always say about Tanguay? He played with really good players. Then you look at Paul Stastny.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. He's played with some decent players. I mean,
got a little time with the end of Sakic's career.
Yeah. But Hayduk obviously hasn't been himself. Duchesne just isn't there yet. Yeah, that was pretty much his line.
Well, I mean,
you
look at the games played as well. This is through the 2011 season. This is compliments of avalanchedb.com. Thank you, guys. We appreciate your work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got Sakic, who has, 1,015 points in 870 games played. Mm-hmm. That's Hall of Fame. That's an outlier there. But with Hayduk, you got 757 points in 910 games. Forsberg, you've got, 705 points in 544 regular season games. That's sick. He's one of the best all time with points per game. Mm-hmm. Another outlier there. Tanguay, 400 points in 450 regular season games. And then you've got Stastny, 321 points in 348 games played during the regular season. Those aren't bad numbers.
No.
Could he do more? I mean, it's kind of the curse, and any goaltender as well, especially if they start playing well. Eventually, I hope this comes up when Varley starts playing very well, starts to lead his team to the playoffs. Then we start with the WA comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with Stastny, too. I don't think it comes right out, but a lot of people, why can't Stastny, since he is one of the better offensive players on the team, play more like a Peter Forsberg or a Joe Sakic? It's just not going to happen.
Right.
And it's one of those, it's a gift to play for the Avalanche, to play under that kind of a tradition.
But he's more like a Chris Drury.
He is.
Not to bring up the anointed one. Like,
no, Drury is amazing. Yeah, I mean, but it's just the thing that keeps on coming up, and everybody knows that I'm a big Paul Stastny fan, but the numbers don't lie. Could they be a little bit better? I guess they could always be a little bit better, but those are some serious numbers. And
six on that list of points, John Michael Lyles. That's
got Lyles. Yeah. And then there's
most, that means most points by a defenseman for the Avs all time.
And as many people love Chris Drury, I mean, you keep looking at this list. Who had more points than Drury in an Avalanche uniform? Santa Sozlinch, Valerie Kamensky, Adam Deadmarsh, John Michael Lyles. I don't know. It's all
Santa Sozlinch. I have a Sozlinch action figure up there.
I thought it was a Forsberg. That's an Sozlinch?
Yeah.
Oh, right on. They made a Forsberg in that same
Oh, in that same style. It's probably the exact same figure. They just painted on a different number.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking starting lineups, by the way.
Yeah. That was like 96,
97.
Or 97.
That's 97, right. 98, right around there. So, all right. So, yeah. Paul Stastny, glad that he's a Colorado Avalanche player. Mm-hmm. It was exciting to watch him play as much as the World Championships that I could watch. And good for him. Good for all those guys. I mean,
I think that we're probably going to be spending a lot of time next season, too, defending.
That's okay.
Stastny, it just
I will do it as often as I feel
as you need
as
to.
Long as we feel we need to. So what else we got? We talked about Calder, we're good there.
Yeah, we talked about Downey.
Good do we, there. Do we want to go down the list of players and just give some quick thoughts?
If brief, yeah. I mean just Let's brief general O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just excited about watching this kid
play. Came into his own this year.
The thing is like I said it in my kind of my Thanksgiving in April post on the blog as well, was you can tell this kid does not take playing in the NHL for granted. I think there is some players that really do take it for granted, and they know they have a big contract, and some nights it's just kind of like it's kind of blah. I mean, he plays like he's scared the whole season, and I have to respect that. He was just a lot of fun to watch, and that's why he does get some mention as the next Avalanche captain. I don't know if that's going to happen. Honestly, I think Gabriel Landeskog is your next Avalanche captain if they're going to stick with this kid for the long term. But yeah, I mean, he was fun to watch. He's clutch and he works his tail off every single night. He's first on the ice, last off the ice in practice. It's something that the guys tease him about, but I know they tease him for all the right reasons. But yeah, that goal against the Hurricanes with 1.2 or 1.8 seconds left in overtime, that was outstanding. So yeah.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on...
On O'Reilly?
On Radar?
He's... I love either Radar or The Factor, which both crack me up.
they're both decent.
You know what? I honestly didn't see quite what everyone else saw in him. Or, you know, there were a lot of people that said, oh, he's great, he's great, he's great. And I, you know, previous seasons, I was like, hey, he's doing okay. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't as flashy as Duchesne. And, but this year he really came into his own. I've been really impressed.
He got better.
He got better and he found somebody he clicked with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. He was when he started with the Avs, he was kind of third liner.
Yeah. Kind of that grinder.
And now you really can't tell the first and second lines apart well enough to really say.
So I mean, he's more like a second line player who's going to kill penalties and work his tail off and I think wear the other team down with his forecheck.
How do you call it? And it's hard to call him a second liner, especially because, you know, his partner is, you know, had on the ice had the most goals for the team. That's he had first line numbers good for chemistry. This team.
Yeah. I wish those were higher, but they'll get higher.
Get there.
Be all right.
I'd kind of like see Downey back with them, you know, just because I like that.
That was a good line combo. For a while. Well, and so was it Landeskog, O'Reilly, Hajduk when they were clicking? They clicked for
when they clicked,
a little while. That was kind of fun to watch. And then it fizzles. And then wouldn't you know, Joe Sacco changes the lines.
I mean, oh, man. Never seen a coach change lines like that before, except for, I don't know, Quenneville.
It's crazy. Loved. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, the story writes itself.
That's right. Who else you got for me?
David Jones. Yeah.
Isn't he the one that they have to sign? I
think so.
I don't know. We haven't done that homework yet. We're going to find out. But David Jones is, he's either hot. I mean, like, whenever you have those players and where the Landeskogs and the O'Reillys, you always notice them, no matter whether they're scoring or whatever. They make noticeable plays pretty much every game. David Jones, sometimes you don't realize he's playing. And I don't know whether that has more to do with him or more to do with his line mates. But David Jones has always been that kind of a player, so it just matters about, you know, if the Avalanche are gonna keep going with him or let somebody else take it away. And
can I go down the list of forwards that are RFAs, UFAs?
Yeah, that's fine.
RFAs,
most of them. Yeah,
yeah. RFAs: Matt Duchesne, Peter Mueller, Steve Downey, Ryan O'Reilly, Mark Ulver, Kevin Porter, Jamie McGinn.
Yeah.
UFAs: David Jones, Jay McClement, Cody McLeod.
Well, and McClement was a name that came up during the trade deadline. Like he had been playing well enough in that role that somebody that was one that NHL Network, as I watched the kind of everything unfold,
really?
That was a name that came up and said some teams are inquiring about Jay McClement because he came into his own as well. But Jones, it seems like every time his contract comes up, it's okay. What are we gonna do with this? And I don't know. I mean, he's kind of that X factor where if he can score and stay healthy, score 25, 30 goals a year.
Yeah.
You know, that can happen, but I don't know. He's kind of an anomaly for me. I'd either way is fine with me.
Chuck Hobosu is too, but he's still got one more year.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll have to see.
So anyways, Yeah. I mean, with take him or leave him. I really want to love Jones, and sometimes he steps up and sometimes he's just, you just don't even see him out there.
Yeah.
I don't even notice him.
And who knows whether that's an effort thing, or like I said, maybe it has something to do with his line mates. I think good line mates can make anybody better, but you have to actually earn your place on the line and to keep your place there. And Sacco's never one to be shy about taking a guy off a line if he doesn't feel that they're pulling their weight. And that seems to be David Jones more often than not.
Yeah.
He's one of those names that comes up a lot.
Matt Duchene.
Kind of disappointed, but I mean, a lot of it was health. I think basically my best call with him, my best prediction with him was with his knee. When he came back, the doctor said, if you go back and play, you're not going to hurt it any worse. I mean, you can go out there and play, but you're really not going to be anywhere near 100%. And that's where he was.
Yeah.
But I think that gives him a lot to prove. And I'd hope that he would use that as motivation and take the time that he needs to get well and then come back. I mean, you can see him being that 40, 45 goal scorer, but he has to stay healthy to get there, and he actually has to use his teammates as well, and that's one thing he's really struggled with. And as far as being a guy like a Stastny that can set up people, so you have to respect that part of him, but be able to snipe when you get the chance too. So I see that potential, and I hope he keeps growing the way he is. But I think he, you know, in a contract year, maybe it was, I guess, in a way good that he didn't play that much and he didn't have those numbers, and they'll be able to sign him for, I guess, some kind of a discounted rate. But I don't see any other
get paid.
And I don't see any other team giving up as much as they would need to sign him as a restricted free agent too. Mm. So I hope he does well. I mean, I'm a fan of his, obviously, but I think he has a lot to prove still.
Excuse me. Yeah, I do too. He, 28 points in 58 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that had to do with health, with his ankle and his knee and everything else.
Yeah.
So I mean, we'll see with him.
More money, more problems.
That's right. That's my life.
Yep.
Wow. Who else you got?
Not much. I mean, I'm looking down the list.
Random names.
I mean, Mueller.
Give me a defenseman.
Mueller's anonymy.
I mean,
anomaly. Sorry.
I mean,
anonymy. Did I say anonymy?
That's a word somewhere.
I'll try. Anemone.
That's
a sea creature. I learned that from Blue's Clues. I'm not even lying.
That takes me back to Nemo with my daughters. But anyways, he's an anemone.
He's an anemone.
I think that'd be a better term for a goaltender myself.
An anemone.
Yeah. Give me a defenseman or two.
Sure, Shane O'Brien. Yeah. See, that's why I didn't give you a defenseman.
I hear you. I hear you. It's too bad with way too many Avs guys. It's like, eh. But I mean, as a team guy, you have to love. It's obvious that the team loves this guy. But yeah, he had his moments this year where it's like, oh. But I don't know. I root for him just because he seems like an Ian LaPerriere type guy.
Yeah, but
how far is that going to take you?
He seems like an Ian LaPerriere type of guy, but then
then nobody's lappy.
No.
You know?
Yeah. You know what? When he would skate into the middle of a scrum, kind of, and just kind of like shove somebody and then kind of look away like, what? You know, that's not LaPerriere. LaPerriere would go in and then...
No, you're watching him. You're like, here comes Lappy. Like,
come on. Yeah. Come on. And then he'd look at the refs and go, oh, come on.
I hate to compare him to, like, you know, probably one of the better liked Avalanche players of all time.
Just top 10. Top 10 loved.
Just because of the way he played the game. But I don't know. He reminds you of that guy. So you want to... It's kind of like a Stastny. You want to see more Sakic and Forsberg and a Stastny. Mm. You want to see more Lappy and an O'Brien, and it just doesn't happen. But... I mean, you respect his game, and he obviously has a lot of pull in the locker room, and I think the guys respect him. And I guess that's a good thing, but maybe that's why he's been with so many teams too. You know, he's a good team guy, and I think every team needs them. But hopefully he comes back a little bit better next year.
And
he's a solid player
because he was a Vancouver Canuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and a Predator.
They were worried that that part of the problem with the Canucks was that he may have spent a little too much time at the dance club at the Roxy.
Just a little bit.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
When fans have signs stating that you're where the Roxy is and what time it closes, you may have spent a little too much time there. And we don't have those kind of clubs here. Not as many.
They do. They're just
cowboy clubs. Yeah. That's really up to speed.
Yeah. I hope he does better. I like him.
Yeah.
Just more of a meh than anything else.
Hey, pop quiz. Who had the worst? Who had the worst plus minus the team this year?
That would be Jan Hata.
Yeah,
I finally got another one right.
Is that
Hata? Was Hata? Yeah, he's a guy that there's a couple on every team that everybody calls out, and he he had some pretty bad plays. I don't know. They signed him to the 4-year deal last year too. I think he's still got 3 years on his deal.
He does at 3.25 hit a year. UFAs O'Brien and Hunwick.
So O'Brien's the UFA?
O'Brien's a UFA. Oh. Hunwick's a UFA.
Yeah, see, and you have this discussion halfway through last season or anytime during last season, and you're like, you know, blame Hunwick, get him out of here. But, you know, I have to give him some credit. He really, when he got his chance this year, he really got a chance to show what he could do.
He worked his way back into
the line. He did, and you know, Peter McNabb gives people credit all the time, and I get that, and he understands probably a little bit better as far as the guy working out when nobody else is working out during the game and things like that. But when he got his chance, I mean, good for him. Good for Matt Hunwick for
how many he practices played this year. Did you make it to this year?
I didn't go to any, and I wanted to.
Yeah, how many did McNabb go to? A lot more than we did. Yeah.
And then Hunwick was probably at all of them.
Probably. Yeah. So yeah, he probably has a better idea of what of what Hunwick's doing.
Thank you, but now I understand, but yeah. I mean. Good for him. I mean, I'm not going to buy his jersey or anything anytime soon, but good for him for how well he did. And he had a stretch where he scored 3 goals in 14 games, and he has his issues defensively, and that's why he was not in the lineup. And you would see those every once in a while, but I mean, I remember having a discussion with Mosier and, hey, who's the quickest skater? Because I saw Landeskog like streak in along the near side, and he looked good. You know, I was like, okay, is it Landeskog or is it like Duchesne? And he says it's not even close. Matt Hunwick is the fastest skater on the Avalanche. So,
you know, and that's nice and all, but there was a time when Comiskey was. And
yeah.
Just because you're a fast skater doesn't make you effective.
Well, I'm a baseball guy too. And the pitchers that throw 95 that have no idea where the ball's going, that doesn't help anybody either. But
that worked in the movie Bull Durham when he hit the bull.
Mascot. Did you see he hit the bull? But I mean, it was kind of a good story. It's kind of a feel good story between he and Peter Mueller. At least had some other things. Mueller.
God, stop that. Just stop it.
No, I like it though. I mean, but you just had some good things to talk about. So good for him.
Cody McLeod, bring him back. Doesn't matter.
He was another one that I think, there was some whispers that he was going to go to the Canucks during the trade deadline. So who's going to fill his shoes, or do you need a Cody McLeod guy anymore? I mean, that's a guy who's had, you know, his years in the past where he had double digit goals, if I remember right, and this year really didn't sniff the net at all. But do you need a guy like him to stick up for your younger guys who might get punked?
Well, I guess he's never going to skate with the younger guys.
No.
So and now that you have Steve Downey,
true.
You know, I mean, that fills that role a little bit, and you know, you can get more. Yeah, what was the word this year? Sandpaper. The team needs more sandpaper, and Cody McLeod is a sandpaper player. But you know, you need sandpaper that isn't going to waste other people's minutes. You know, it's like when TJ Gagliardi, when he got a 1-game suspension in the playoffs. I said no, just make him skate more and take away useful people's minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing; you still have to be useful out there. And I think he's kind of useful, but he's no, again, he's that kind of LaPerriere guy, but
he's not,
but he's fourth line. Yeah. I mean,
I would kind of miss the angry clown face, but you know,
no teeth.
I don't know. I mean, if he signed somewhere else, let's just say I wouldn't be super upset, you know?
I mean, there's nobody else I really want to,
okay.
I mean, you know, I could say Wilson, but Wilson just never seems to be, Wilson's a guy that's always kind of background to me. Just never.
He has a big hit every once in a while. I was like, yeah, I'm glad he's with the Avalanche. But other than that, I mean, he doesn't bring a whole lot else to the table.
59 games this year.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Mm. Concussions and so forth.
Yeah. Mueller, I guess, you know, but that's, Mueller's such an X factor that you can't do any predicting about it.
It's, you said, like, he's restricted, right?
Because
I think he'll be back then.
I'll double check.
I don't think any of those restricted guys, the guys that you listed would really, I don't think any other teams would give up what they needed to in order to acquire guys like that are on that list.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I want. Here's what I want to see the Avs do in the offseason.
Okay.
Find replacements for Jay McClement and Kevin Porter. If you can upgrade those two slots, I think that you can solidify some things.
Porter, I get. What is it about McClement that you think somebody else would fill?
Just that he doesn't seem to have any real defined role out there. That he seems like he just has a slot and that's it. He's almost become Gagliardi and Winnick to me in a way that, that where he's very expendable. I would just like to see people that are even as role players are less expendable.
Okay. I see him on the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. And he played that role. He had a couple sure-handed goals too, as if I remember right. So I do see him kind of as that player, but I also see where you're coming from as well.
10 goals over 80 games, 17 points over 80 games.
Well, that's just not his job either. Yeah. You know, I think he's doing some of the hard work up front during the PK. So the Ryan O'Reilly's and the Matt Duchesne's and
good hard work down low.
You got to work hard down low. I think he's doing some of that work so those guys don't have to, and you have to have those guys too. So
yeah.
I mean, if it is somebody that, did you say McClemmon is unrestricted?
Yes.
Because I can see another team that needs help with the penalty kill picking up someone like him, especially the way he played. So I guess he made his value go up a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know, I can also see him getting replaced by like a, I don't know, like a Landeskog. I mean, Landeskog's playing out there all three aspects of the game. And, I mean, he's out there when play matters. He's, I mean, man, that was so
you never want to see your top guys necessarily wasting their minutes on penalty kill. But some of them are shots,
some of them are so good, like a Sakic would kill penalties because he's so good defensively. So there's kind of that balance between the two. But and then McClement's obviously not gonna play on the power play, so I don't know. There's all the stuff that's the coach's job, not the fans' job.
Right. But you know, if there was somebody else in that role, I don't know. Different doesn't necessarily mean better,
right.
But I would like to see different. Same with Porter. I just don't see why.
Yeah. He's struggled. I mean, he also had 12, 15 goals a couple of years ago, and it's just tough to watch those guys, you know, with
this year, 7 points in 35 games.
Oh yeah.
But there's no reason to keep, there's no reason for him to be around as much. And that was 32 shots.
Well, maybe those are the roles that are going to be filled by the Scarbosas, by the Joey Hishens, as he gets healthy too.
If he gets healthy,
you know,
yeah,
it'll be. I mean, there's never a dull moment around here, especially with all the movement. So,
Brad Malone,
Malone has his chance, and then you never see him again.
There's the
Ryan Stoas of the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of Stoa. He's finally a UFA. I mean, they may need a body. Down in Lake Erie or something, but I just don't really see a reason.
Something he doesn't do really gets at people, that's for sure.
All right. I'm sorry. We spent so much time on that. And I
that's fine.
Really, I didn't expect us to, but that's
cool. What else we got? We good?
We're mostly good, I think. What else? We talked about Varley. We talked about these guys. Hey Duke.
I think we're good. I think we covered everything. We covered almost everything Avalanche.
McNabb, that's what she said.
McNabb had one. That's what she said. I didn't put the details down. Oh, it was during the Canucks game on March 28th. And he just said, if I'm going down, you're going down.
Wow.
Boom.
Simmer down there.
A lot of, if you're on Twitter too, the hashtag hockey porn.
Oh, my God.
Really good stuff.
There were some really good ones.
Really good.
I feel like they stole your thunder.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was the only one to ever come up with something like
ever.
That. Yeah. So we'll keep, I mean, it's just easier with McNabb, but he really didn't. Maybe I should like talk to him or send him an email and be like, you really let us down the last maybe 15, 20 games of the year with a lot less. That's what she said.
You could send that to a lot of people.
I mean, come on.
Let's
really pick up your game. So even if the Avalanche are not going to make the playoffs, it's at least entertaining. But
Hey, Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas
is probably taking next year off. The Bruins will probably toll his contract. But the two interesting things about that, number one, of course, he was drafted by the Nordiques.
He's one of two players, I think, left in the league. And Hayduk was a Nordiques draft pick as well. There's not many left.
Nope. And he moved his family to Colorado last year.
Does he want to play for the Colorado Avalanche?
No, but I'm just saying. It's fun.
That's an interesting story. I mean, wow! You don't see many what's more than one hiatus? Hiatuses?
Hiati? Yeah, it's like cacti.
Don't know. I'll try it with words and with friends and see how it goes. But you don't see you don't see many hiatuses by professional athletes. So I'm sure the Bruins and their fans are really happy right now. Oh, I saw an interesting tweet. It was like the timeline of Tim Thomas from like 2008. So 2008, you know, yay, 2009, they wanted to, you know, I don't know. It was just really interesting because
He goes from Vezina to Goat to Vezina and Cup winner to Goat,
and then 2012 was like kill him or something like
what's
that.
What's the point? Yeah.
So lot of dynamics going on in Boston.
He's a weird. You know that his whole thing is just kind of odd. He wants to be the public face, and then he doesn't want to be, and
my Facebook page is my personal life, and
yes. Yeah.
Well, it's Facebook, and you're a professional athlete, mm-hmm. so people are going to take what you put there. You know, seriously.
I've got one word for Tim Thomas: Kardashians. Yeah. There's no such thing as your personal space on the internet.
You gave that up when you decided to be a stud goaltender. So, well, I hope it works out for them, kind of.
Do you have any shout outs?
I don't really have any shout outs.
Yeah, you guys, you people disappointed us.
No,
mostly Jay. Jay is very disappointed in you, and he's not going to take it anymore.
James is my media guy. Yeah. You know, I don't have any specific shout outs, but I mean, we never really got a chance to wrap up the year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, on behalf of both of us, thanks. I mean, we do this as.
Hey, you don't talk for me. You don't speak for me, mister.
You're not. I'm going to move my iPad away from you then.
Don't you talk for my.
Well, jump in.
So,
can I finish?
So I would like to just say thanks.
I want to say what Jay just said. That's what I want to do.
Don't you speak for me. I will talk for I will say exactly what you just said for myself.
Myself. I can talk for myself. I have my own microphone.
This is
In
why
fact,
people,
this is your microphone.
This
that
is
I'm
why
using
people
right
listen
here.
To the show.
That's yeah, it's right. the it's the hijinks. But okay, on behalf
Lucky
of me, then, hijinks ensued.
Bring
but
the thunder.
Thanks again for another great year. We've got a ton of people following us on Twitter. I am Avs HKY Podcast. James is Tape Leg. Thanks for the follows, and thanks for those. I mean, we really appreciate, especially the positive like relationships we have formed with people, and just getting to know people that we otherwise wouldn't have known. It's just Twitter's been very good to us in a lot of good ways. We spend a lot of time trying to make things better and how we're going to deal with some of the people that get in touch with us that aren't as positive as most of you are. But sometimes we don't even hear from you, and that's okay. But I mean, it's just been another great year. It makes it. There's enough attention and enough followers of the Facebook page as well. If you just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast and click the like button, we'll keep you up to date with almost everything Avalanche. But thank you for another great year. And we were driven to try and make this a little bit better. James is now back in town full time, and that's gonna change things a little bit as well. We're gonna have a couple more shows at least during the year. We're gonna try and have more than Adrian Dater had for his podcast. That's for sure.
Adrian Dater had more podcast episodes this year than we did.
Yeah, was it as good as our show though?
I don't know.
We'll have to.
But that is a little embarrassing.
It is.
That we actually have podcasts in our name, and this is show 9 for this season. That's a little.
I know.
Skimpy.
Life is busy. We do the best that we can. I know it's been
life
a little
was
while.
Busy.
Yeah, it's been a little while since we brought you the last show. But believe me, things have been very busy as far as traveling and moving and family and so forth and so on. But we have enough attention, and we just want to thank you for that attention to try and keep making things better. So and not necessarily anybody specifically, but just thanks for all the support. We really appreciate it, and we'll keep working for you as long as that's there. Obviously, we obviously don't talk just to hear ourselves talk. Although I'm sure there's most everybody that would argue today.
What
do you got? You got anything?
No.
See, I have to speak for you because you got nothing.
No, this year has been this season has been really kooky for me, and I'm now just moved back to Denver, left the road, no longer on tour, so that means I actually get to like go to Avs games and probably the new Denver Cutthroats. Oh, that's what we didn't talk about.
You'll have to save up for the Denver Cutthroats.
Oh man, those are some pricey games.
We can talk about that next show too.
Yeah,
we'll have another one before the year.
So I actually am now able to sit in front of Jay, as scary as that is, and do the podcast like right here and in person. And
I know it's always sounded like that to everybody, but obviously for
the last one, I was
in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's always sounded like we're next to each other, but it's not. No. And without James's work, you should see this setup. I mean, it's unbelievable.
We should put a picture of this on there.
It's unbelievable what James does with all this. And James makes it so I can just focus on the Avalanche content, and he takes care of the rest. So
this is it's like a little media empire, like micro media empire.
Well, it's Tape Leg Studios.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just professional, baby.
Baby.
But yeah. But yeah, thanks. High five or fist bump?
Fist bump.
I'm well this time. But yeah, I mean, another great year. This is year, I think I started this by myself 2007, 2008 season. Wow. And then this is what, our third year?
Third season to you?
Yeah, three seasons ago, we did a couple shows together. Yeah. We're just kind of on and off. But the last two full seasons, we've done this together. And it's, it just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
And so, we'll continue to do so.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see more of you at the Avs games. Maybe some more of you on the, on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast.
That's right. I got the URL working now.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. So,
and we're going to get a few more than eight episodes next
season. Yeah, we will. And we're going to come up with a schedule. So it's a little more often. We obviously want to wait long enough so we have stuff to talk about, but not too long to where we miss some things. So
yeah,
we're going to come up with a little bit of a schedule. And
we don't want to waste your time, even though.
No, we don't want to be in your ear hole just to be in your ear hole. Let's just put it that way. So it
sounds so wrong.
Other than that, but it sounds so right. Other than that, I think that's about it.
Yeah, I'm good.
I think we're good. I think we'll come at you if anything really exciting happens during free agency. I know some of you are probably thinking you'd get our thoughts on free agency. I mean, who knows? There may not even be an NHL season next year.
That was the one thing I was thinking we didn't talk about. Just a real quick hit on this.
Yeah,
I think there'll be a season.
It'd be silly not to.
I feel. Yeah, there's. What'd they say? With how much the revenue went up this year, the salary cap would be $70 million.
Yeah,
and that would be the top. The floor would be something like $54 million.
Wow,
which is ridiculous.
Yep.
And especially when you only have, according to, I think it was Forbes.com, had, and Forbes comes out with these things and people go, oh no, that can't be right. But they said that 11 teams were profitable, and that's about it. And that was
Sustainable. Bless you. That's not sustainable. That's for sure.
Yeah. And so I think that the owners are going to get some percent back, especially since what did the NBA get? Like 50%?
Something like that. What they're asking for. Yeah.
So I'm sure that's going to go down.
It's going to be a little bit of a fight.
But. Yeah. 57 is still, that's what it is now. That's high. I think it's going to go down. I'm sure that every salary is going to get cut a little bit, by a few percent. But I think that there's going to be a season. If they lose training camp, or if they lose preseason games, I don't think anybody will really cry too much. But
especially when the tickets are full price.
Oh man,
for season ticket holders.
Yeah,
that's so weak. That's when my dad goes crazy.
But
full price for half the team. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I see where he's coming from. I just think less than a decade after you lost an entire season, you can't do that again. I mean, I think they're just even bouncing back, even though the Stanley Cup ratings have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
They're just bouncing back from that. I mean, they're just starting to fill seats where people are getting excited about hockey.
Well, some of those places.
Some. I mean, you do have your exceptions, but for the most part, it seems like buildings are getting full again,
mm-hmm.
and it just wouldn't.
Except for places like, the Island.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Those are pretty painful sometimes.
Yeah. So,
people have asked you, do you think there's going to be a lockout, or what are we going to do without hockey? There will be hockey next year. And in Denver, hey, you know what? Maybe if those cutthroat tickets won't seem so pricey when there's no Avs.
Hello and welcome back to the Cutthroats Hockey Podcast.
Your source for everything. Cutthroat, by the way, is the state fish.
Yes. It's not just something we're making up.
It's not violent, people. Just relax.
We can make a cutthroat podcast.
Don't bring your knives.
No. That wouldn't make much sense now, would it?
Dogs outside.
There's dogs barking.
Hey, you know what I need to do? I need to do the thing.
Touch my iPad?
But I need to do the thing about this.
All right, James Tape Leg Grayling with the thing. Go for it.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast. There you can comment on this show, tell us that we're being a bunch of dinks, but, do it nicely.
Nothing we hadn't heard before.
Jay's on Twitter. He already told you at AVSHKY Podcast, and I'm on Twitter at Tape Leg. My blog is at jerseysandhockeylove.com. And my other podcast, which hasn't been updated, so you might as well not even go there, is www.rinkpodcast.com. The Facebook page is at facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. Even though we haven't even said it. We haven't even said it in so long. Curse word. Curse word shirts even.
James is rocking his right now.
Curseword.net. And repurposed, and especially hopefully for next season, we want to hear more of other people's voices than just ours. We have a little phone number that you can call. It is, as soon as, boy.
Scroll.
I know. I'm looking for it. It's here somewhere. 845-704-7465. That's 845-704-RINK. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I did it.
I see what you did there. I see what I did there.
And that's pretty much everything. Jay's got some. Jay's got the goals of the year, the Avalanche goals of the year up. That's pretty much the top post, which will actually be the next post down after this.
I have more jerseys too. I've got a post explaining the story behind the Hajduk jersey, mm-hmm. Which could be updated because he has signed since then. I was kind of hoping that would be the goal, the jersey that he scored his last NHL goal in. But it's obviously, well, unless he goes through next season without scoring a goal.
It also explains the differences in the Reebok logos on the back and why you shouldn't necessarily cut a thread.
Don't cut threads. Yeah. Come on. That was really it's an interesting story because I was going to cut it off and then,
folks, you'll have to read it yourself.
My DVR
just gets really weird.
The DVR kind of blew up after that too. So I'm glad I took a picture of my television, which I usually don't do. But if I hadn't done that, hey, who knows what would have happened. So I've also got a Peter Forsberg jersey that I just acquired from the 2003-2004 season that he wore in one game at Pepsi Center. That will be up soon. And also a Paul Stastny from the 2006-2007 season from his rookie year. Long live the 6100 style jerseys, which were the jerseys they wore before the style that they wear now.
That's more Avs jerseys worn at the Pepsi Center in that season than he wore in his last season with the Avs.
Yes, that is very true. So jersey stories and much, much more.
At www.avshockeypodcast.com.
Man, you'd think we'd be doing this for years with that kind of segue. Boy. It's called chemistry, folks. All right.
It's called painful.
That's right. At times. All right, so we'll come at you here fairly soon. If anything happens big as far as free agency, well, I think we'll definitely have to come at you with a show.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said, go get Sutter, go get Parise. Yay.
Well, you know,
not that simple.
It's a lot of people are going to be gunning for Sutter and Parise.
Yes.
Including their current teams. So they may not, who knows? They might even not even hit the market because they can negotiate with their own team until
it's true.
Until July 1st.
True. We try not to speculate too much about the draft, about free agency. We'll break down what'll happen, you know, afterwards once all the deals are done and everything. We can mm-hmm. we can do something like that if something big happens with the Avalanche. But at the very least, we'll definitely come at you with a preseason show. Obviously, if there is hockey, we'll do that. But we'll give you season preview, maybe break down some of the roster moves as well. And
if there is a lockout, we'll just have a podcast of us crying.
It'll be crying, and there'll be we can just do like static or something like that. Do your static noise. That's pretty good. I like when he does that. But that's about it, James. Another season in the books. Thank you.
Boom.
It's good to have you back in town.
Thanks. Good to be back.
We're gonna have some fun. I think you guys are gonna enjoy it too. So until then, have a great summer. And take care. And as always, whether it's summer or not, let's go Avs.
Let's go Avs.
And James and I will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast.